RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or by visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Go RVing. To find your away, visit GoRVing.com.
And by Good Sam Auto and RV Club. For a special membership offer, visit goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. And Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at Cabela's.com. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking to the king of the RV walkthrough on YouTube, Joshua Winters. His YouTube channel is our first stop anytime we want to get the skinny on a new RV without even leaving the house. What makes this guy so good? His winning combination of product knowledge and a great sense of humor.
Plus, we will dive deep into the RV FTA forum and talk about the things many RV owners regret just after their big purchase. Listen to these veteran RV owners so you don't make the same mistakes that they did.
You might think finding an RV dealer is a minor part of your journey towards RV ownership, but we know that building a relationship with a stellar dealership will make the whole RV package a lot sweeter. You are listening to episode number 96, Meet the RV Walkthrough Guru.
Before we head into this week's lightning fast news roundup, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends over at Progressive Insurance.
Yes, adding an RV policy to another Progressive policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info.
Are we on the road to savings?
You want to add
more. We're on the
more.
Road right now.
You're exactly the kind of person that likes to add more so you can save more.
Exactly. You spend more, you save more.
Yeah, I know. I've been living with you for a long
and
time.
And it fuels the American economy. All right. So our news roundup's a quick one tonight because we have a really awesome interview with Joshua Winters. It started out about his RV walkthroughs, but it's really like this just great conversation about the whole RV industry. The guy's so smart, so funny, and so interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So the big news, obviously, for RVF TA listeners is that Jayco was sold to Thor for $576 million this past week. So that was like the big news in the entire RV industry and some further consolidation in the RV industry. But I think the thing to know or the talking point for us is that, you know, Thor does allow these companies that they own to run themselves very independently. And Jayco's keeping their entire management team in place. And everybody that worked for Jayco last week showed up for work at Jayco this week. And I think they really intend to keep on making good quality RVs just like they always have.
Yeah, we got so many. It was funny. It was like all of a sudden the news started going out and we were getting these like little Facebook messages with links and emails. And hey, guys, did you know, everybody, a lot of our listeners, when they see news about Jayco, they think of us. And right. Rightly they should, because we have a Jayco. They sponsor our campground of the week, and we really always put out the message out there that we believe that it's a quality RV product out there in the market today. So that's been our experience, having owned one for almost 5 years now, you know, and so people were like, oh, they thought of, you know, RVFTA when they heard this news. And we, you know, so we would, you know, email our message back. Yeah, we know. And, you know, the message from Jayco to us, you know, they reached out to us to say, look, we want you to know we really plan on doing the same thing that we've been doing all along.
Yeah, when Thor buys a company, that's what they want them to do, you know, and Thor owns Airstream. A lot of people don't even know they own Airstream. And the Thor companies all compete against each other. And Thor thinks that's actually good. So look, it's further consolidation in the RV industry. And, you know, look at the automobile industry, for instance. I mean, there are three major American automobile companies. The RV industry might be headed in that same direction. But there still are also a lot of small boutique RV
right
manufacturers
absolutely.
As well.
And you're going to pay the price for that boutiqueness. But anyway, so we'll keep, you know, it will be looking forward to that being the case as consumers, right? As RV consumers who have said all along, our next RV, if it comes down the pike, will be a Jayco.
And it'll be a Jayco toy hauler. I think that we've sort of settled
in that
direction.
You just give everything away, we'll see.
Hopefully.
I'm okay. The queen of the we'll see.
So also, look, we're on our big summer voyage right now, and we've pre-recorded some of these great interviews. But if you want to follow along on this big, crazy 3-week trip, we're doing more extensive posts on Instagram and Facebook. So you can see where we've been, where we're going, what we think about what we're doing, and all the great celebrating of National Parks and all of that stuff. So follow along on Facebook and Instagram under RV Family Travel Atlas if you are not already.
Right. We're not just posting pictures on our social media. We're actually doing like a mini blog post kind of a thing on those social media accounts because, first of all, we're traveling in some non-connected areas, right? And because of the fact that we're producing 3 podcasts a week now this summer on our travels, which has never happened before, we're worried about connectivity to get those, you know, uploaded and out there. The last thing that we wanted to worry about was connectivity when we're talking about blog posts also. So we decided we're writing for a lot of different other outlets. You know, we're going to be up on Camp Cabela's, Progressive, Go RVing, all those places you see our writing. And we just thought, you know what, we don't want to have to worry about doing all that uploading on our own website. We'll stick to really doing nice blog posts, mini blog posts on our social media account. And it's been going really nicely. I like it.
Yeah, and I've been really enjoying taking pictures of some incredibly beautiful places here in New England.
Yeah, you've been trying out all your new camera equipment.
I have.
Fun.
I've been switching lenses like crazy. Now, in other news, we survived our satellite media tour for Go RVing last week, which we did at Normandy Farms. And we did 22 television interviews in a row, and then
right.
a radio interview. So having gone from never having been on television to doing 23 interviews in a row was really an incredible experience. Maybe at some point we'll talk about it a little bit more when we have more time. But we survived, and there are 2 clips up on our Facebook page, or 1 right now.
So I shared 2 out. There was one that was a lot that was from
Las Vegas
news outlet, and then there was one from a Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Philadelphia,
outlet.
I think. Mm-hmm. And Philadelphia, right? And we didn't embarrass ourselves.
Right.
Goal for the day was just to not humiliate.
There were no major mishaps.
I didn't spill anything on my shirt.
Right.
The whole time I was thinking, if I spill water on my shirt.
Yeah, toast.
I'm toast.
You're toast. Everybody's going to be like, who's the goofy guy on TV
yeah, so
with the water
if
on
anyone
shirt?
Out there ever like does 23 television shows in a row, bring an extra shirt in
yeah,
case
we
you spill
didn't.
On it. We didn't.
And that was the thing about it was we were just relieved that we didn't make any major mistakes because that's what you're just like, you've never done live for 4 hours.
Yeah, and frankly, I'm amazed that we didn't botch
now,
any of them.
Now, that doesn't mean that we like, it's still not comfortable to watch
I
yourself.
I have to say, I enjoyed it. I
oh
enjoyed
gosh.
Doing television
I would
interviews.
Never say that
I did.
And I'll never. No.
I totally enjoyed it. And it was
I
the
will
same.
Do them as part of what we do, but I will never do
yeah,
them.
And,
will it like joyfully?
Well, and everyone, you know, you should know we were asked the same 5 to 10 questions in every single interview. I mean, they were fairly similar from interview
to interview.
But
with minor variations. So you're like, oh, and you don't really know what's coming. You don't know what order people are going to ask what in. So, you know.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Hopefully for us, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Because next time we have a book out, I'd sure love to do it again. But anyway, we survived. And I think we're more relaxed now on our trip now that it's over.
Yeah. So if you want to see what we look like performing on TV, then you can go over to our Facebook page where we did share out a couple of those clips, and I'll also put I can put a link in the show notes to this episode also as well. All right,
so we're ready to head into Joshua Winters, and this is one of my favorite interviews we've ever done, and I want this guy back on the show
right
now again
so,
soon.
Joshua Winters is our favorite YouTube walkthrough guru, as we call him. If you search on YouTube, and we're going to put this in the show notes, he does great, funny, but so on point and so educated walkthroughs of RVs.
Really informative. He knows the rigs inside and out. Then he just does this crazy spontaneous humor where he talks about how he had bad Chinese for lunch, or he talks about dad's medicine cabinet. You'll have to watch one to find out. But basically, I don't watch anyone else's walkthroughs anymore.
Yeah, he spoiled other YouTubers.
He spoiled us because, yeah. I mean, you watch other ones and they're so unprofessional and they're so boring and the camera's shaking and the person's not funny and they don't really know what they're talking about. And this is just a smart dude who knows the RVs that he is selling.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
And his channel, I'm sorry, his channel. Channel is Joshua Winters.
Mm-hmm. And so we will link to that in the show notes.
So if you want to subscribe, just subscribe to Joshua Winters. And you might be thinking, who watches RV walkthroughs? Maybe that's not you. You're not the type of person. These are pretty fun, informative, and entertaining. So head over to his YouTube channel and subscribe.
All right. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Joshua Winters.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we do this week's featured interview with Josh Winters from Haylett Auto and RV Supercenter in Coldwater, Michigan, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing. So are you interested in the RV lifestyle, but don't know the difference between an expandable travel trailer and a fifth wheel?
Are you a seasoned RVer who can't decide if your next RV should be a Type C or a Type A?
It is great that there are so many different options out there, but it can also get a little overwhelming.
All right, so what you can do is head on over to GoRVing.com and click on their Compare RV tabs to find all the information that you need to make a smart decision for your family.
The RV selector tool tells me that I should be behind the wheel of a Class A, and it actually did.
Well, that's so funny because it tells me that a travel trailer is the right fit for our family of five, and that's what we have in our driveway.
And there's a bit of a price gap in between those two items, by the way.
Well, no matter what it tells you, there is an RV for every budget, every lifestyle, for everyone. So find your way and go RVing.
And a big welcome to the show to Joshua Winters. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm laughing at the discrepancy between Go RVing's perfect RV for each of you, because as we all know, Lady of the House controls 90% of the finance and 90% of the romance. See?
Oh, which is why that travel trailer is still sitting in our driveway, Josh.
I think it's 99.9%. We'll double check our numbers later.
Yeah, but you know what he controls, Josh? The tow vehicle. So he just upped to a Ford F-150.
60% of the time, I think your stats are right, 80% of the time.
All right, so starting from there, Josh, why don't you
tell... He's a numbers guy.
I know, we got that about you. But why don't you just give our listeners a little bit about, you know, information about yourself and your background in the RV industry. How did you get to be our favorite YouTube guy?
Well, it all started when I was a child.
Not that far, Josh.
Well, that's the thing, is that... I have a root in camping. I grew up camping, and we were dry campers. Now that I look back, I think it was mostly due to budget reasons. But, you know, that's the cool thing about camping, is that it kind of meets everybody. And that's something I've brought with me. When I came out of college, I've got a bachelor's in computer science that, despite my heavy online presence, I've really never done anything with, because I'm in a small town and I've got roots and I like my family. I didn't want to bail. And, from there, I became a dock foreman at Yellow Freight for a while. And from there, I became the part-time website designer for Haylett's. And I came in with, you know, previous camping experience, but I had no, like, I never took the sales classes. I've never been an officially trained salesman. It shocks a lot of people to learn I'm actually not a commissioned salesperson. I get calls, people asking for me directly because my name's on the YouTube channel. And I'll answer all their questions and say, you want me to get you to a salesman? They're like, what do you mean?
You're blowing our minds here,
I
Josh. We're like, wait, we can't buy an RV from Josh Winters?
I don't let people get missed. I'm like a Swiss Army clerk, if you will. I'm a glorified clerk in that respect, and that's a position that I was actively fine with. That was, and it really shocked my boss equally as well. And I'm like, I used to kind of pull double duty. I was never a good strong closer. I don't like that pushy thing. I don't do that. I don't like that. My view is that if I give people the information, I will earn their business. Go out and shop, compare. I don't care. If I do my job, you will come back to me. And more often than not, it seems to work.
I got to tell you, when I watch your YouTube videos, I feel like you're the ideal salesman because you're very energetic, very knowledgeable about the product, very friendly. And I could easily picture myself sealing the deal with you.
Well, I've shook hands with more than one person, and I've actually, despite not being a primary sales guy, I've got really high return and referral rates, but I stick close with people. They call me if they need service work, and then I get them in touch with the service department. I'm not like, well, I'm not that guy, you know. I didn't want to be, nothing against Walmart, but you buy a lawnmower from there, they ain't working on it. You know, I want to be your everything guy. You need a truck. You need a trailer. You need a horse trailer. I don't care. I want to be your everything guy. You need pieces and parts. Something broke and we need to fix it. I want to be the guy that's involved, you know.
Now, I got to say this. I don't think that most RV dealers have a guy like you. So does that give Haylitz a competitive advantage in your region? I mean, this is a pretty unique role you've carved out for yourself.
It is, and it's I'm that – it's not a secret anymore, I suppose, but I'm kind of that secret weapon that's propelled us up. When I started with us in 09, and don't get me wrong, I've received a lot of training. My name's different than the name that's on the sign, but I'm the owner's son. And my office when I started, and even today, I'm the office next to him. I have a phone call where there's something that could have been improved upon. He swung around the corner. Okay, let's pick this apart. Let's examine it. Let's grow and do better. And it was never about, wow, you made a really crap phone call. It was like, okay, here's what you said. Here's what someone may have heard. And here's a different way you could say it that they're going to appreciate a little better and actually get across the same message more effectively. And as a result, I got so much concentrated hands-on experience from just down to core roots salesperson, just good quality sales training. And there is no, we've always believed there is no economic situation that good old fashioned salesmanship can't fix. You know, like
there's the belief.
You know, the economy needs cheerleaders, not naysayers. And that's we choose not to participate in that negative side of things.
Well, and I think of your videos, I think that you bring the same enthusiasm to, you know, a $10,000 pop-up camper that you do to a six-figure motorhome. It's like you take both of those products and both of those price points equally seriously in the way you present them online.
Well, look what it represents to the person that's buying it. If it's a $500 old used water damage pop-up, a $5,000 used trailer, $50,000 fifth wheel, $500,000 motorhome, whatever it is, it's a lot of money to that person. It means the same to that guy. And whether it's new or used, it's new to them.
Yeah, Josh, when we bought our first pop-up camper, I thought that we were rolling in luxury. I really did. I couldn't even believe it, Josh. I was walking around for the walkthrough when we went down to buy it, and I'm thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. Look at that. It's a stove. It's a bit. Like, I was like, I really thought we were over the top for getting our.
To the east side.
She was embarrassed by this luxury purchase.
I was, you know, any camping that I ever did in my life was done in a canvas, an 8-man army canvas tent, you know? There was no luxury. So you're actually, you know, I just feel like you're hitting the nail on the head with that in terms of dealing with the customer. It is their castle, you know, like it is their thing that they're going to have these great, you know, moments and these great family times in. And it is important to them no matter what the price point is.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It's just the simplest way to say it.
So when did you start doing the YouTube videos that we grew to love so much over the past couple of years?
I think it was around 2011-ish we started doing it. And this is I soak a lot of credit for this because I'm actually the guy doing the footwork. And it shocks a lot of people to learn I was so adamantly, diametrically opposed to begin doing the video work that's become really popular to us right now. They're like, what do you mean? Really? You do all that? You didn't want to do it? And no, I really didn't. I having done a little bit of like being our online advertising guy, as well as also being a part-time fill-in sales guy, whatever you want to call it, I was afraid I was eliminating a person's need for a salesperson. And being very service-oriented, there's more than just like turning a wrench service. There's answering questions service. There's building confidence service. There's a lot of different aspects to it. And I was afraid that it was going to dumb down the process to the point that the only thing we needed an air quote salesman for was just to be an glorified order taker and just be like, yes, I'd like this one. How much is this much money? You know? And it was around 2010 or 11-ish where Mr. Haylett, having no computer knowledge, the guy's an old gearhead, but he has vision, and that is why we are the success that we are. We're the largest independent store in the state. We're the only one in the top 10, let beyond that, top 5. We've been flirting between 3rd and 4th in the state with some big chain giants in our state recently. But he has that thing, that intangible, that crystal ball, that foresight. And he looked at it and he said, you've got the computer knowledge, you can start doing this. And that's when I really became super product focused. And it was really just by pure brute force exposure. I went back and I watched a couple of my tours from 2 or 3 years ago. I was embarrassed. I was like, oh, this is garbage.
We know that feeling, Josh.
We tell people not to listen to our early podcasts. But, right. So, what changed though? Because you had all this hesitation about it, and you were worried that it would, you know, make the salesman somewhat irrelevant. Well, what actually did happen after you started the videos? Clearly, that wasn't the scenario.
What happened was I was told by the guy who writes my paycheck that you're doing it. That's the biggest thing. But if I'm doing something, I put my name on it. Part of who I am is I dig in. If I sold tennis shoes, I'd know everything about Nike and Adidas and every other Reebok or whatever. I sell RVs. So I dug in and I learned it. And I remember when I was in front of a customer and they'd ask me just basic common knowledge questions. And if I wasn't sure, man, I just felt weird and awkward. And I didn't want any of that to translate through. So I grabbed the brochures. I started walking out. I started touching the product. I started watching how it evolved over the years and getting the shape and the feel of each brand. And another thing is being so close to the manufacturing hub of the RV world. I've been through every factory. I've seen these things without the skin. And that is when you really get to know them. You know, it's like you learn the most about a friend when they're at their most exposed. And I've had the opportunity to see RVs in that same light.
That is profound.
See, that's why we love you
on
YouTube.
That is why we wanted to interview you.
Well, RVs are like people. They're built by people, and those same human traits translate through to them. You said yourself, you got type A's, type B's, type C's. You got personality, type A's, B's, and C's, and everything else. Every RV has a character about it, just like every friend has a quirk. And that means I don't believe in like the perfect RV. Sometimes that means that this one has a little funny trim or something like that. But that's part of the charm of it. It's a camper, you know, and that's what makes it fun for me.
Well, our RV is definitely a member of our family. Now, you also are an RV owner, right? And I think that that's also something that you bring to the table in these videos, is that when you're talking about the RV is you have one, you use one. So what do you own, and how often do you get to use it?
Not nearly as much as I'd like. It's the catch-22 of this business, like the roofer with a leaky roof, you know. Especially the last couple of years, the business just being so hopping, as I've really had to be in the office quite a bit. We try to take, Mr. Haylett's my father, my brother's our service manager, until recently my wife was our title clerk. I mean, she actually had seniority on me at Haylett's till she left recently. And
did you push her out,
Josh?
Yeah,
did you drive her out? You couldn't take it?
No, not at all. What's funny is people say, well, it's got to be hard working together. She was our title clerk, and not really being involved in a lot of paperwork, our jobs didn't really intersect. So it was just kind of one of those things, like you'd look up and be new and be like, hey, you want to get lunch? And it was just cool to see each other. But we've reached a comfortable point. We're super fortunate financially. She was just able to stay home, and we get to raise our own kid now. And gosh, that's a blessing. But what was the question? I got off track.
Well, we were talking about the RV as a member of the family, and you started waxing poetic about family. So what kind of RV do you have in the driveway?
It's a J-Flight SLX 264 BHW, just basic, no slide bunkhouse. And it appealed to me for I'm a simple function over fashion guy. As long as it doesn't leak and smell, my wife probably doesn't care. I would love to have something with a slide out. And obviously I have the opportunity to choose pretty much anything worth owning on the market. And obviously I'm sure I'd get the right deal on it, but it just didn't make sense to me to go all in when I wasn't going to get a good return on investment. Again, you said yourself, I'm a numbers guy. But it has a lot of storage. It's just the three of us in our family, but you can always throw stuff on those bunks. The bunks always have good, you know, use to them. It's got enough sitting, enough sleeping. We still have central air and nice lights. You know, it's got the stuff that matters, and anything else, I camp next to Mr. Haylett, who the only person who has a nicer thing than the boss is the boss's wife, which is my mother. And I call their rig the rescue barge because holy crap, man, do they have everything over there.
The rescue barge. You know where you're going in an emergency.
Oh, yeah. No, the last time we went over just to stop, she's like, hey, you want me to make you? And she's like cooking in the oven. I'm like, nobody cooks in the oven of a camper. What are you doing? And she's making like ribs and stuff. This is just a lunch snack. What are you doing? The first time my wife went camping with us, like she didn't get, like she grew up camping in her family too. But I think her dad was the guy who would always trade around to get the trailer that just seemed like a really good deal. And I remember one time she's like, we had a nice camper. Then my dad traded one for one that he thought was a good deal. And oh, it had leaks and none of the lights worked, all this stuff. And again, that's the personality of it. That's her dad and her dad's personality. And then she came camping with us. And we went for 4 days. I packed 3 t-shirts, 1 extra pair of shorts, a pair of swimming trunks, and some sandals. And she's like, what about food and stuff? I'm like, no. That's all I said was no.
No. That's one time my father said, you know, to Jeremy, like when we got the new shiny trailer, like basically like, well, if nothing's going to break, like what's the fun of it? You know, like the fun
that's
of it
is. That's a generational difference right
Jeremy
there.
Jeremy was like, yeah, we can't see eye to eye on this. Like fixing stuff is not fun.
I totally get it. And I totally fully, like I said, I respect the investment people make and what it represents to them. And I understand when something does go wrong, why people are, they're hot, they're on the phone, they want it now. This is supposed to be their fun, relaxing time. And now you're telling me I have to haul it over to Coldwater to get it fixed. That is part of it, unfortunately. And we do our best to minimize it. But when you roll these things down the road, they've put instrumentation in an RV. It's a 4 on the Richter scale earthquake with hurricane force winds outside. Stuff wiggles, man. That's all I can tell you.
Let's go back to these walkthroughs just for 1 second. How many have you done? Because it just seems like you've done hundreds of them. Is that an exaggeration?
It's an understatement. I've got a closing on 2,200 currently. 2,181.
Oh, my gosh. And for those of you who haven't seen them, we'll link to them. And
you can binge watch. Hey.
Yeah. And before we started recording, I was telling Joshua why we liked his. And they're funny. And they're informative. And they're full length. You know, they're sort of like 10 to 12 minutes. It really gives you all the information on the outside and the inside. So we've enjoyed them thoroughly. We're going to have our listeners check them out.
Now, we've also noticed that you've been branching out a little on the YouTube channel, right? And instead of just doing walkthroughs, we've seen you doing some more general interest RV topics or like these little demonstrations. What are some other kinds of things that people are going to find there?
Well, I try to do those about once a week, but we had a really big meeting down at a manufacturer yesterday. Whereas the kind of the product specialist, I needed to be involved to go through there, and I can't share details of that yet. But, buddy, this fall we've got some big news coming to Haylett's. But suffice to say, I was a little tardy this week. However, the one that I just activated right before we spoke was what does a quote 4 seasons really mean with an RV? Because that term is just abused. I've got a little A-frame versus pop-up camper comparison, A-frames versus like a mini camper, like a teardrop type camper comparisons. And then I've got, those are the ones that I have recorded and yet to flip the public switch on. I've got a list of a lot more topics from there, but pretty soon I'm going to end up like Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs looking at people going, please give me more ideas to keep doing this.
Yeah, no, that's so great. Like, I love those, like, just those terms that are bandied about. And, you know,
the fourth season. Yeah. Like, I always wonder, like, really? You know, just like in the campground world, every campground is a resort these days. Like, yeah, right.
Well, and at a dealership, we don't have sales. We don't have a sale. We have an event, man. We have the purple gorilla on the roof and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, we like our phrases.
Well, let's talk about what's selling right now. So what's hot on your lot? And I don't necessarily mean what brand, but what features are people after? What things get people excited? Is it the outdoor kitchen? Is it new technology? I mean, what are customers showing up?
Residential, lightweight.
Yeah, what are people showing up and wanting?
Well, during the first quarter of every year, the common constructed trailers like a J Flight, you know, wood skeleton, aluminum skin, those just dominate sales because that's when you have sales season. And what's the number one thing you're going to try to advertise? A price leader. Well, what's the price leader? A air quote stick and tin trailer. That's an industry term we kind of use in-house, but that everyone's pretty familiar with that phrase. You know, once that kind of evens out and equates, what we've seen just exploding this year has been the lightweight market, and it's been all of it. And we have way too many lightweight brands at our dealership, but they're all finding homes. And the real standout one, I know you said don't really mention.
Well, no, you certainly brands, can. I just didn't want to push sure. you to, you know.
No, but the one that we went down this last fall open house just to try something out. We were just driving by and we looked over and we made our trips to Jayco and Forest River and Keystone, and we made your big major stops. And then on the way back through, we just took a side road and we looked around like, huh, here's Winnebago. Let's just go check them out. And just by happenstance, a guy who had been our Springdale rep previously was there, and we got to talking to him and looking around, and I was really shocked. And it just the cleanliness, the fit and finish, and the look. They have just a look to them. And that was the biggest – I mean, they have an amazing name. They are building something that backs up that name. We don't have Winnebago problems. But the look of it, that was the only thing that was unique about it. But those things were enough, you know, because at its core, a Winnebago is really a Passport clone. Passport within the common ultralight market is just the most copycatted thing out there. I mean, your entire Grand Design is literally nothing more than just Keystone copies. That the people behind Grand. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not bashing.
Well, there's lots of duplication.
No, this is fun.
Listen, there's lots of duplication in the RV industry. Absolutely.
Oh, sure. There and Winnebago recently got into a little bit of hot soup over that with the R-Pod versus Mini Drop debacle, but they got that all settled and everything. And I'll leave that to the lawyers and the people with the titles, but
the teardrop camper, right? That was like never, no one's ever seen those before, right? They've been around for like 50 years, haven't they?
Yeah, it was something about the specific profile of it. Okay. I never looked in the details of it because it has nothing to do with me. So I got enough to keep myself busy, but I'm not one of these people that likes to look through the shades at the neighbor's house. The thing though is they've really appealed. We found that there's a big segment of people who are, I don't know, 45, 50 and up, either at or looking at retirement, who just don't need something big. They don't need a 40-foot five-slide fifth wheel. They don't have a one-ton truck, nor do they want one. They just want something that is built right, it's built clean, looks nice, and has the right basic things, you know. And that's really where that product has slipped right in there. And again, it's absolutely no different in theory than something like that Passport or a Freedom Express by Coachmen. It has a different look about it. It's got that almost off-white interior, and I think that harkens people back to the days of yore of camping, if you will.
Oh, but absolutely. I took a picture of that and posted it to our Instagram account this past winter at an RV show, that light off-white interior, and it blew
So up. In other words, Winnebago's doing something different with the look. I mean, the quality's there, and people sort of know that, but then the look is different than a lot of the other brands.
Right, and the thing that's really shocked a lot of people is you say Winnebago, and they instantly put their hands up and go, whew, buddy, that's just out of my budget. And then you look at what they're doing in towables, and it's super aggressive. They are right in the price point pocket there, and I think that's what shocks so many people. Like, wait a minute, I can get a Winnebago and not go broke?
But they have to be, because going by what you said in terms of what are these really strong sales coming from, it is sort of these less expensive travel trailers, right? I mean, they're just taking over.
Well, Winnebago's trailers are actually all lightweights, and nothing's cheap when you enter the realm of lightweights, because you're there. You know, I've actually done a video on what's the difference between a lightweight and a non-lightweight, basically. But it really is. It's the right mix of quality, longevity, feature, and finish. And obviously, price is always in there. I mean, you're ignorant if you say the price doesn't matter, but the price almost appears to be like a bonus feature on the Winnebagos, because once people get done seeing it, they're like, wow, really? That's all? That's not bad, you know?
Yeah, they're expecting a higher price tag, so it's a nice surprise.
Yeah.
That's great, Josh. So what else is hot on the lot right now?
Well, what we've seen a really big uptick and upsurge in the last couple of years has been our toy hauler business. And I think it's because they've just gotten better. They've evolved into a true unique segment. Back when they were originally called SUTs, sport utility trailers, it was a garage with a bed. And there's still some of those, but it's becoming more and more of a camper that you can park a toy in. And beyond that, the equipment that's become available, like the patio party decks, as I call them, the screen rooms, the happy jack bed and sofa lifts, has allowed one trailer to have a flex room that can convert between being just a garage, a utilitarian space. It can be a second living room. It can be a screened-in patio room. It can be a bunkhouse. It can be a game day man cave or woman cave, depending. It can be a craft room. We've actually sold a lot of toy haulers to local craft people who like go to craft shows, and they sell stuff out of the back of their trailer. So it's evolved to a point where it can serve so many different needs now.
And they are fairly luxurious to some degree. Like if you look at a standard travel trailer and then walk over into the toy hauler, a lot of the times I feel like you're getting a nicer stereo, a nicer microwave, a nicer fit and finish.
Yeah, there's a lot of – I wish the common trailer market would take more of the cues in the kitchen from toy haulers. Like I've never liked – how they mount microwaves and modern trailers and fifth wheels up really high. I'm taller than the average bear, and I think they're high. And if you got a bowl of hot soup in there and you pull it out, if you're not paying attention, you spill it backwards on yourself, you're going to be in a bad day at the office. You're going to get burned and have cleanup. But in toy haulers, they do something a lot like motorhomes, where you have a normal stove cooktop, and then you have a convection microwave oven below that. And that, to me, makes more sense.
All right, that is awesome. We could go on and on all night with this guy, right? Yeah. But we're going to break, and we're going to come back, and Joshua is going to give us some tips for our listeners who are thinking about buying and just starting this journey towards RV ownership. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into the second part of this really terrific interview with Joshua Winters, we need to thank our sponsor, Good Sam, and Good Sam saves us money.
They save us money, and they can save you money. We have been Good Sam members for seven years. We renew our membership every single year because we get 10% off at over 2,000 campgrounds around the country.
In every state.
And we usually pay off that membership. I mean,
for me, it's a no-brainer, because we camp enough at Good Sam campgrounds that 10% saves me my $25 back right quick.
Yeah, but you don't even have to do that, because we have a special deal from Good Sam for our listeners. It's goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. You are going to sign up for a Good Sam membership there, and you'll pay $25 for that membership.
For a one-year membership.
But then you're going to get a voucher for a $25 off your first night of camping with Good Sam. That's a wash. Basically, I'm calling it
25
free.
Minus 25.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. You get a zero membership because you listen to this show. So then you can also save at Pilot Flying J. You can save at Camping World with their parts and accessories. You can get a free annual inspection.
They're going to give you three or four issues of Trailer Life magazine, and there might be an article by Stephanie and Ian in there.
You never know.
So go get yourself a Good Sam membership. All right, let's get back to Joshua Winters here. Josh, how are you?
Everything okay with you? I'm hearing some violent repercussions over there.
We were getting excited. Stephanie there was a knocking over.
Stephanie knocked over her glass.
I did. It went. But nothing was in
she
it, so
she was so
okay.
excited about the Good Sam membership value that the glass went flying off the table. We like to keep things spontaneous here. So now, for this segment, we want to really kind of just help our listeners make some wise decisions on their journey towards RV ownership. And we're actually big proponents of developing a relationship with an RV dealer as opposed to maybe buying used, as opposed to buying from an online place where they ship the RV to you. So could you speak to that and tell us, like, what is the value in purchasing from a dealer and then building a relationship with a local dealer?
Well, we do sell nationwide and coast to coast at Haylett's, you know, all the way from Michigan, but we do really encourage people to shop local, and we've always sourced everything locally as much as we can, unless a local vendor's let you down. Sadly, occasionally that happens. When you got a local guy, you're going to get local service. You're going to walk in, they're going to be familiar with your unit, they're going to know your history of your RV and your purchase history, and you don't have to chew your cabbage twice, so to speak. They're going to know who you are. It's like Cheers. Everybody knows your name. But you know, it's unfortunate, but it happens. You know, you go to McDonald's and they walk over your order. When you're at a big high volume service place, occasionally things get missed. That doesn't seem to happen when like someone knows your name. They're like, wait a minute, what happened to Jensen's unit or whatever? You know, there's just extra eyeballs put to it. The other thing is just from a pure litigious standpoint, there are all of the laws are designed from the consumer perspective to protect you from a sleazy dealer. Exactly zero of the laws exist to protect you from the guy who's selling his camper off the side of the road or via Craigslist. And I'm not saying there aren't good deals out there, and I'm not saying don't buy those trailers, because none of those are good. But you need to be ultra hyper careful when you do that, because once you own it, you own it.
And we always tell people, like, hey, if you can get a $500 pop-up camper off Craigslist, go for it. I wouldn't ever recommend somebody go buy a $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 travel trailer or fifth wheel off of Craigslist for those very reasons.
Yeah, it's just kind of sketchy. There's that potential. There's still so much fraud on there. I catch one of my jobs when I have downtime, which that's been kind of a joke lately, downtime, but is just to scan around websites to find people who are copycatting our ads and trying to smoke deposits out of people. It's not as bad as it was, thankfully.
Wow. I mean, that really gets to the nugget of it.
The RV underworld.
Oh, the underbelly of the RV world. All right. So now, on the flip side, having said that, we also want to promote, you know, like talk more in depth about the positive side of finding that quality RV dealership. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people, you're scanning online, you're looking for the model you want, you're looking for the best deal. Well, it can be easy to kind of forget that maybe you should also be looking for the best dealer, right? Or the best sales.
Yeah, so how
sales.
Can our listeners find a really good dealer? What should they be looking for? Because everyone's so focused on the RV, you know, what should they focus on with the dealer?
One of the biggest things I've kind of tried to key into are the brands they carry. And I'm not here to be specifically brutal against certain brands, but with a little bit of research, people will quickly find the ones that have a little better reputation. And again, I've never been the believer of the perfect trailer, but there are the ones that get it right more often than not. You and I both invested in Jayco's. We both saw confidence there. And, you know, you don't develop the number one selling travel trailer in North America by building it wrong. There are certain brands that just don't have a good reputation, and I've always been really leery of the people who are willing to put their name on representing that product. You know, I didn't build the Jayco that I purchased from my dealership, but if I were a general consumer, our dealership still put their name on that. My family's name's on that bumper sticker on the back, you know, so we're still representing that, and that still represents who we are. So looking at brand names is a good thing. You know, there's really positive brands out there that can be a real big draw, and that's a good indicator. Another thing is just investigate the facilities of the place. This is a total mind shocker to most people. Do you realize you don't even have to have a service department to be an RV dealer?
That's wild. I mean, both places we've purchased from had reliable service centers, and thank God they did, you know, and I can't even imagine purchasing from a place that can't service the unit after the fact.
Well, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with Walmart, but if you bought a $300 lawnmower there and it broke, you wouldn't expect them to fix it. Now let's imagine.
I love the idea of going back to Walmart.
Imagine it's a $30,000 widget. Now you're really hot that they can't fix it, you know, and maybe rightfully so. I really feel that.
So you want to actually walk in, take a look at the service center, you know, pop your head in there, say hello. Does it look well managed? Does it look clean? Does it look big enough to, you know, hold even more than one RV in there? I think that's a really good tip. Anything else?
A basic customer service goes a long way, and I've always believed that your first impression's your last one. Do they get up? Do they greet you at the door? Are they reluctant to take the time to meet you? I've always laughed at that whole, someone's too busy to sell. I'm too busy selling something to sell something over here. Well, then I don't need to bring my business here. You're not interested. And if they're not interested at the start, they're not going to be interested at the end.
Oh, yeah. Some of our least favorite RV dealers, one of them requires an appointment. Do you have an appointment? And we're like,
wait. All the RVs are locked.
And they're locked. And we're like, we have an RV dealership that we've bought from. We can go there and we can walk and we can look in everything and we can just always kind of be shopping. I feel like they get that, you know, whereas like there's another dealership and everything's locked and I have to ask for the key for everything. And that really burns me.
I don't feel
like they want to sell me something.
Right. I'd always prefer to have one of our guys with someone just because, I mean, the reason we're having this chat is there's people who they don't have the level of education that a full-time person has. And there's definitely people who have been lifers who can get out there and find what they're looking for. But I can't even tell you how many times people come in looking for a bunkhouse and end up with a rear living room or vice versa. And a lot of times people, well, my friend told me I need this and need this. Well, is your friend helping you buy it? And chances are no. Maybe you should spend your money the way that works best for you.
All right. So check out their service center. Check out their facilities. Check out their general sales
vibe.
Okay. Right. Helpful. Anything else?
Those are the biggest differences, I think. But one of the biggest things, but beyond just the physical location, at some point there's a human element. At some point or another, you're going to have to sit across from a salesman, or at least a guy who, quote, has salesman under his name tag. Start asking him questions, or her, pardon me. We tend to be slanted that way in this business, so pardon me there. But does your salesperson camp? Do they have camping experience? And the best example I've ever found to relate to that to people is when you are looking at toy haulers, and the guy's looking at one, I looked at one down the street. Okay, I respect that. What kind of toy are you putting in your toy hauler? A lot of times the answer is something really brand loyal like Harley. Okay, the guy that you bought your Harley from, is he a rider? I say, well, sure. So would you have bought from him if he wasn't? And they always grin because they know where I'm going. And they say, no, I wouldn't. And why not? And they know the answer is because he wouldn't get it. And how is he supposed to take care of me? He would only be here for my money. And that's a big difference. More than half of our salesmen at our store at Haylett's were actually our customers before they were our staff members. And I think that's one of the coolest things. Now, not all of our guys are active campers, but the ones that are not, we make them camp in the fall at least
once. Good for you.
Yeah.
We put them in a rental. We partner up with a local campground. It doesn't cost their family anything. We're not here to hurt our guys. But I tell everybody, until you've been cranking those jacks in the rain, mm-hmm. you don't know how much fun this is.
You haven't had a good time.
All right, you great. Wanted to tell us a little bit about trade difference and what that means when you're trading in an RV. So educate us on that one.
This is one of the number one pitfalls I see people get into is they fall for one of the oldest tricks in the sales book, and that is not paying attention to their trade difference. I'll just make up some numbers. You've got two different businesses, each selling the exact same trailer. Let's say they both retail for $15,000. Our dealership sells it for $10,000. Theirs sells it for $11,000. But when we get down to how much, quote, are you giving us for our trade? Let's say we're offering $5,000, but they're offering $6,000. Well, at the end of the day, that's kind of the same deal. Because the trade difference, which is my sale price minus your trade value, is $5,000. Theirs of $11,000 minus $6,000 is still $5,000. But their deal looks attractive because I'm getting more for my camper. The trick is, in a lot of states, you're paying tax on that top line. Now, in this case, that's only a $60 difference. But you can see how quickly that would add up. A lot of times people are in a finance situation. They haven't yet reached an even equity point or a positive equity point. So the dealer helps them feel good, like they're not carrying any of that loan with them by fluffing up the top line numbers. The easiest way to tell is if you go in, because most places aren't like us. We advertise our pricing. We're transparent. Our trailer's worth this. Your trailer's worth this. It's just that's what it is. But a lot of places make you call for price. I despise it, but that's how the business is run, and it's their right to run their business how they choose. Well, if you say, how much is that camper? And the first thing they say is, well, do you have a trade? That means they are setting you up for a run down the river. And that's just the easiest way I can describe it. At the end of the day, you have to look at what is the number I am actually writing a check for. And the phrase out the door seems to be something that has become redefined in the business lately. I talked to a guy recently, I won't mention where he was shopping from because I'm not trying to be – I'll leave the mudslinging to the politicians. Okay, so I talked to a guy about out the door, and he said, well, their trailer was $35 out the door plus taxes. And I just stopped dead in my tracks and went, well, that's not out the door. And he got mad at me thinking I was being a smart aleck, but that's not out the door. What is the number you have to write a check for? So when someone tells me – they're giving me $2,000 more for my trailer down the road, but my trailer's cheaper. I say, good, because what a trade value represents to a dealer is how much they would buy your trailer for off the street. So walk over there and tell them, okay, I'll take your deal. I'll let you buy my trailer for $2,000 more and you can keep it. Then come back to me with that check and save a lot of money.
That ain't happening.
That's
and
great.
And guess what happens? It never, ever happens.
Right.
Ever.
Of course, the consumer can only dream, right, that they can get the highest possible, you know, trade value and the lowest possible price. But we understand that that's not going to happen.
Well, and nobody wants to do that. No one wants to have to drive back and forth five or six times, because even if they do win, they still feel like they lost. They still feel like they have to fight for the thing. They just want to come in. We'd like it to be simple and easy. I don't want to do the back and forth. And that's, again, where I was never a hard closer. I don't like it any more than you do. We put a very fair price tag out there.
Oh, Jeremy lives for the back and forth, Josh. Don't kid yourself.
Well, I do, because I know how the game is played. Now, if I had a dealer where, you know, I'm not even, we have a great dealer, but I'm just saying, if I knew, okay, this dealership is pricing it as low as they can price it, then that would be great.
All right,
that's not the way it works.
Okay, so let's just, on the flip side of this, let's go down this road and say, okay, so we know everyone wants to get the best deal.
So we're going to put you
on their next RV, right? So what do you think? Like, what is the best way for an RV shopper to get the best price on their next RV?
Well, it's no different than shopping for a car or anything else. You got to shop around. You have to earn your discount as a buyer. And that's just common sense, really. But it's less fun. You need to get a couple quotes from a couple guys, and you need to let your cell phone get blown up a few times by guys looking to call you. And frankly, you should think like it's annoying when you get that call from that sales guy, but you should actually think less of them if they didn't call you, because that means that they weren't even interested in you. So try to keep that in mind. Be a little bit nice to that sales guy. He's just doing his job.
Jeremy loves to get that call. He said to the guy, he just bought a car, and he goes,
"We're buddies."
He goes, "I'm going home. I'm going to eat dinner. You call me if you've got something for me."
I said, "Look, I'm going to go home and eat dinner. If you got a great price, yeah, here's my phone number."
Sure. But, you know, if you can get a couple quotes, and the biggest thing is get something in writing. You know, we make more than our fair share deals happen at Haylett's, but if I don't earn your business, that's my fault. But if you can put something in front of me in black and white that says this guy's got a better deal, the show stops. I take it to my boss. I say, we got to meet or beat this, and that's what it takes. And that is just the quickest response I've seen, because now there's no more guesswork. There's no more he said, she said. It's in paper. Here's the numbers. Let's do it. And that, I think, is the easiest thing get an actual black and white quote from someone and shop a little bit. But the first guy that gave you that quote, be decent and give him a chance to earn your business too. That sales guy's time is how he pays his bills and how he feeds his family. If he did you that justice, at least give him one last shot. Like, listen, I appreciated the quote you gave me. I went shopping around. Can you at least match the other quotes that other people have given me, and at least do him that justice
there? I love all that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a best time of year to buy an RV? I mean, should we be shopping in the dead of winter when it's snowy and cold? Should we be shopping when the model years are switching over?
There's different times for different benefits. We are very fortunate in that we are large enough, we can really throw our weight around. So when the fall season comes, that's when the manufacturers have their big incentive packages. And unlike the auto business, where those incentives are offered direct to customers, in the RV business, those incentives are offered to dealers. And that is with the goal of getting a dealer to order more when the business is slower to keep the factories running so they don't have to lay off guys. Because if they lay off guys, he's got to get another job. Well, or she, pardon me. But that person has to get another job. Now you hire a new person. Now your quality suffers. So by keeping the same people on staff, you'll get better quality, and that will grow your brand just organically. We can buy really heavy in the fall. And when you do that, you're like, we order just, I think we put 400 or 500 unit orders total in this last fall. And that allowed us to get obviously a bulk discount. You know, you buy better in bulk. You get the fall packages. Typically, if you order that time of year, the manufacturers will scratch your back a little bit more just to kind of say thanks. And that tends to mean, even if it's $100-$200, man, that's a lot of gas money. And so that means that you have really good deals going during what I call snowflake season, but it depends on where you live. You know, in your last quarter, your first quarter. In the summertime, though, it's not a bad time to buy, because why would you want to miss a day of camping? Why not get started in it now?
That's a great point.
Make a payment, you know, like, while it's sitting there.
I think we've always kind of realized that the fall is a good time to buy, you know, dollar-wise, but then you're like winterizing the rig right after you buy it. You're not using it. So,
right.
You know, maybe you spend another $1,000, but you get to use the thing.
Right. And, well, are you really spending $1,000 more when you've already made $1,000 in payments? So it's really a 6 to 1, half a dozen to another. I just really think it's a matter of when your family is ready to go camping is the best time for you. And it's one of those things where we carry such large discounts at our store from our buying power that we never really have large variances between things. It gets a little tricky sometimes between model years. You know, like you can say, well, I can save money on a holdover 16 from last year. You can, but everything trades and resells eventually. And when that happens, you're immediately behind in book value. So you better have saved that money up front, because you're going to have to recoup that at trade-in time. It's now not worth as much simply because it says 16 instead of 17.
That's
spoken
great.
Like a true RV salesman who knows that all of us RV owners are constantly trading
buying
in.
New rigs.
Well, what happens to that blue book value? What direction does that blue book value always go? Let me ask you two.
We know it goes.
We know.
Down.
Trust me.
It only goes one way, and that happens every quarter. So if you decide not to purchase in the fall, and now it's spring, and you have a trade-in, it's already gone through two additional depreciation cycles. Now it's worth less anyway. So did you really save $1,000?
Thank you for letting us like think about the future.
I know, right? And he's not on the
floor. It's not just impulsive. Listen, this was a wonderful conversation, and we really thank you so much for coming on the show. And there's just so many great things that you offered up for our listeners there, and we really hope to have you back again at some point.
Yeah, tell all of our listeners now. They all want to go and they want to watch your walkthrough, right? So tell them where they can find you.
Well, you can find us all day at HaylettRV.com, HaylettRV.com. And I do a walkthrough video tour on every single unit. Everything we carry, I have pricing, I have video tours, I have where, I mean, you say they can be 12, 14 minutes. I've had some over 25 to 30, depending on the product and how much there's to talk about. I take you on like a personal tour from the comfort of your own home or your phone. I don't care if you're on lunch, if you're in bed. I get a lot of people tell me I'm the other man in their bedroom, and that's creepy, but it's funny. But,
fine line.
You know, and we do publish pricing. We're a very easy, transparent place to work with. All we need is an opportunity, and I don't care where you live, because we can deliver right to your front doorstep. And whether it ships from the factory to your local dealer or from me to you, it still ships. So distance is not a disqualifier.
And if people want to find you on YouTube, we will put up a link in the show notes. And then the YouTube channel is under your name. Is that correct? It's Joshua, yes. Winters, if you're searching for the YouTube channel. And you got about 5,000 subscribers there, don't you?
Within a month, I'll have 5,000. That was my end year goal. At this rate, I'm going to be probably 6,500 to 7,000 by the end of the year. And recently here, my most recent stats is on a 28-day rotation, I had over 4 years of viewership.
Oh, so that's awesome. Good for you.
I was impressed with that. I never expected it to be this big, but hey, I'll roll with it, and we'll keep making deals happen.
And if you'll have to go onto the YouTube channel to find out what Dad's medicine cabinet is, and also occasionally Joshua likes to share what he had for lunch and whether he enjoyed it or not during the middle of a walk.
And the Baptist medicine cabinet. That's always one of my favorites.
Oh, I didn't catch that one. Okay.
Yeah, Josh, watch a couple open range videos.
Okay, right, great. Joshua, right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon. Bye. Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy 4 folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and 3 generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into our final segment, all about things you wish you considered before buying your first RV, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Camp Cabela's.
Yeah, we do. And we are happy to welcome Camp Cabela's on board to the RVFTA podcast network because they really are passionate about supporting families in the outdoors. They want to get families out there enjoying an outdoor lifestyle, and they have everything you need to do that, which we really like.
Well, the store we went to in Connecticut had everything you could possibly need, and I had my eye on some new kayaks, dear. I didn't really mention that. And the Cabela's Camp store has everything, whether you're tent camping or you're in like a $500,000 motorhome. They have stuff there that's going to make your experience a lot better. For instance, the ice machine that has like changed my life.
We'll talk more about that on our product
reviews.
We're
going to review that on a future episode.
But let's just like suffice it to say that our boys are now like asking for things from Cabela's.
Oh yeah. They want to go back to a Cabela's store.
Yeah. They have way too much product reviewing.
If you want to go and check out your local Cabela's store or head over to Camp Cabela's on their website. And at Camp Cabela's, you're going to find like really inspiring blog posts, all kinds of motivation to get you and your family outdoors and living a really adventurous life.
Yeah, absolutely. And they really believe that the best moments of our lives are around a crackling campfire and sitting beside close families and friends. They want you to camp and start making memories that will be treasured for generations.
Somebody on Facebook told us that Cabela's makes the best zero gravity chairs.
Well, we have to test that.
We may have to test that because I love to enter zero gravity around a campfire.
So the hashtag on social media is It's In My Nature, and you can take a picture of any of your fun outdoor family time and hashtag it It's In My Nature to join in on the Cabela's fun.
Cabela's also wants you to get your dog in the great outdoors. I've been noticing that too.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
On their Instagram account, we've been getting Maggie outside like crazy. She's been doing a great job hiking. On their Instagram account, they had a picture of a dog with a life jacket on. I think we need that life jacket.
We do, because Maggie needs to start kayaking.
She does. I don't think she's going to start swimming, but she needs to start kayaking. So anyway, thank you, Cabela's, for supporting RV Family Travel Atlas. Now let's talk about things that you wish you considered before buying your RV. And this is sort of a forum thread of the week, and it just goes along with that whole kind of walkthrough RV shopping theme and conversation we had with Joshua Winters. So this was a great thread on our forum. So what were some of the topics that people brought up, things that they wished they thought about before purchasing?
This is a long and very detailed forum post. So I want to say right now that I'm not going to credit any one individual person for anything on the list that we're going to share right now. You can head over to the forum to see this, you know, thread, because so many people weighed in on these, you know, across the board. So I would be like naming five people.
And also, people on our forum are doing it out of the goodness of their heart because they're pure spirits and they just want to help people.
All right. So I will connect to the forum thread of the week, and you can go over and you can read through everybody's responses, but we just want to give you a sampling of the things that showed up over and over and over again. And they were also things that a lot of them we had, you know, interactions with.
Right. Now, the first one that people brought up was, you know, movement and access when your slide is in. Because when you're RV shopping, usually the slides are out. Then a lot of people buy their RVs, they get them home, they put the slide in, they go somewhere, they pull over on the side of the road, and they can't get into the bathroom.
Or they can't open their refrigerator. Or they can't get into the cabinets or something like that.
You need to see that RV with the slide out and the slide in. And when the slide's in, you need to make sure, can you get to the refrigerator? Can you get to the bathroom? Can you get to the rear of the RV where you might have something stored that you want? You just need to understand what you can get to and what you can't get to. I actually like that our Jayco Whitehawk, we can get to everything with the slide in.
Okay, the second thing that came up over and over again was designated beds. A lot of people said, you know, we thought we could live without designated beds for every member of the family, and we found that that was such a frustrating part of our RV use. So one person on the forum said, if it goes through your mind to say, oh, we can live with that, you know, halfway into your RVing adventure season, first season, you're probably going to think, I can't live like this anymore.
Well, when you're sitting there shopping for the RV, you're not picturing yourself making the bed and unmaking the bed and putting all the stuff away. So, you know, we're big proponents of designated beds.
All right. The third thing was bathroom size.
This was mine. I mean, we were coming from a pop-up camper to a travel trailer. I thought the bathroom on our travel trailer was spacious when we were shopping for this rig. And now I realize when I close the door, I can barely fit in the bathroom, right? So I want a bigger bathroom next time.
Yeah. And this was not one of the things that really I care too much about, but you know, a lot of people,
because you're smaller, so sit on the toilet. It might seem weird in front of the salesperson, but sit on the toilet. Don't go to the bathroom because it's probably not plugged.
No,
Stephanie's just groaning. It's not plugged in
to
the hookups, but at least sit on the bathroom, close the door, make sure you're comfortable.
Okay, another thing, number four, it was a big thing for us and it showed up on the forums over and over again. Curtains versus doors. A lot of the lightweight travel trailers, which we have a Whitehawk. Now, that's very attractive because you can tow it with a vehicle that may be your family vehicle or, you know, the thing you already have in the driveway.
People look at our 33-foot travel trailer and go, oh, you can tow that with a half ton? Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I can, because I don't have wooden pocket doors. I got curtains.
Right. So I have to say that I never even thought about the curtains before we pulled off that dealer lot. And you know what? Even in the early years, I didn't really so much. Now that our boys are getting older, I feel like I want doors.
It's like, get out of the bedroom, boys. Get out.
Mommy's
trying. We wake
to get
up
dressed.
And there's bodies strewn all over the bed.
Yeah.
It's like
mm-hmm.
a war scene. Get out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
Can lock those pocket doors though.
No, but you can close them. And I feel like our next travel trailer has to have doors, no more curtains.
I want lockable doors with a code word. I am tired of waking up with a child's feet in my face.
Yeah, well, you've got another few years of that, I think. I don't think that that's going to do it anytime soon.
I woke up with Wesley's feet pressed against my forehead.
Yeah, but he's so cute.
Not when his feet are pressed against your forehead.
His feet are so cute. All right, number five. This is something that we cannot do, but that kept coming up in the forums. I don't know that we would think to complain about it. Walking around the bed.
Well, that's because you have the side of the bed with more room on it, and you can actually walk next to your side of the bed.
You can walk next to your side of the bed, too. You just can't walk around the bed.
I have about a foot of space between my side of the bed and the wall. You have about 2.5 to 3 feet.
Okay. So this is getting cranky. As someone said on the forum. Now, so in our travel trailer, the wall comes up right to the bottom of our bed. And that is the case in a lot of travel trailers. But then in other ones, you actually have a decent size amount of room down at the bottom. Why is this important? Well, first and foremost, people like to be able to make their bed with ease, and it is not easy to make a bed if you can't walk around it. But then there's also obviously, you know, it's easier to get to things in your bedroom if you can move around your bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and if you're going to have that walk around bed, your travel trailer is probably going to be 2 feet longer. You know, yeah. So you're adding on weight, you're adding on space. If you want a super lightweight, you might not have that.
I'll sacrifice that for a shorter trailer.
Yeah. Now, the last one's also really huge. And I got to say, I didn't think of this at all, because particularly when you're coming from the world of the pop-up, everything looks better. Right? So tank size. I had no idea what the size of these tanks were or how long they would last when we were dry camping. So we have like 30 gallon, I think, for black and gray. I want bigger tanks because I want to dry camp more and I don't want to have to worry about it.
Yeah. So, we're dry camping right now. And I have to say, far from the idea that like national parks have the more like tenting, rustic kind of a client, you know what we're surrounded by? Class A's. Because they can dry camp
huge
with ease.
Tanks. And you don't think of the tanks because you don't see them. They are hidden, right? So you want to ask about that tank size and you know, poke around a little bit. And particularly if you're the type of person that wants to do a lot of national parks or a lot of dry camping or boondocking, you're going to want more room in those tanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So for more descriptions of what people were regretting after they got their trailer, because, or any kind of RV, because of course, none of us, you know, really live in these things and travel in these things before we buy them, head on over to the forum. I'll link to it in the show notes and you can see what mistakes other people made so that you don't make them yourself when you're trailer shopping.
Absolutely. So we'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 96 of RV Family Travel Atlas. Meet the RV walkthrough guru, and you can subscribe to his YouTube channel. Just search for Joshua Winters. I want him to have friend of the show status, meaning I want him to come back on.
Yeah, we'll beg him to come back on. We can't wait. He was so great.
I have to beg him. He likes talking RVs.
Yeah.
He was. I think he enjoyed it too.
All right, and thank you so much to our sponsors, Go RVing, Good Sam, Cabela's, Campers Inn, and also Progressive Insurance. Y'all know we are running our Summer Where is Flo contest over on Instagram. Last week, Flo was at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, and the winner who guessed that was Liv.KN. All right. So Liv.KN, PM us your info and we will mail you some Progressive swag.
Hey, Liv.KN. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Good guess,
so get
bro.
Out there and play. Yeah, you guys got it. It was tricky.
I wonder if Miss Flo had like a scary stay, if she was scared.
Oh, no.
She was outside the hotel. It looked like she was running out of it.
Yeah, no. Flo was joking. She had him laughing.
I get worried about her on this road trip.
Flo!
Here's Flo! I get worried about her. She's been all over the place.
She is, and she's still got more coming, so stay tuned next week to see where she's going to be at.
Is she's out west one week, she's in the east the other week, she's all over the place.
Doesn't that amaze you? She's amazing.
Well, I think she probably has Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, so she can go anywhere. She can do anything, and she's covered.
She's covered.
All right, we'll talk to you all next week.
We're going to see you at the campground.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.